Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday. We're cranking into the week. The weirdness factor continues to escalate upward. And obviously the biggest story, not that you'd know it by tuning into the TV channels, but the biggest story is Israel's seizure of the Spirit. This is the boat being operated by the Free Gaza Organization. It is a boat that it was sailing from Cyprus to Gaza carrying humanitarian relief supplies, construction materials, toys for the kids, new olive tree seedlings to replace the ones destroyed by the settlers, medicines, stuff that is really needed for the people of Gaza. And late last night, we were following the progress of the boat across the Mediterranean from Cyprus to Gaza. Late last night, the Spirit was surrounded by warships of the Israeli Navy. They jammed the radar and navigational systems of the Spirit, which is a violation of international law, to jam GPS and radar and so forth and so on. It was very difficult getting communications in and out from the boat, and it was a while before we finally found out what was going on. But basically, the short version is, while the Spirit was 23 miles off the coast of Gaza, it was not in Israeli territorial waters. But 23 miles off the coast of Gaza, Israeli occupational forces seized the Spirit of Humanity and arrested the 21 human rights workers on board, including Nobel laureate Mariette Maguire and former U.S. Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. The passengers and crew and ship are now in a port in Israel. Nobody knows what's being done with them. Israel's official position is they were trying to break the blockade, and if they wanted to bring humanitarian relief into Gaza, it's perfectly acceptable to bring it through the controlled crossings. Of course, we know that's nonsense. Israel is constantly blocking all the materials being brought through the crossings. Israel is enforcing a policy of permanent on the people of Gaza. What makes this rather interesting, the contents of the boat, the Spirit of Humanity, the contents consisted of materials which President Barack Obama had specifically requested Israel to allow in, primarily cement, so that they can rebuild the buildings that were destroyed during Operation Cast Lead. Israel's apparent policy toward the Palestinians is that they should be perfectly happy building new homes out of mud, and that that should be sufficient for them to live in. So the boat is now captured. It is seized. And what is really kind of interesting here, because we've got the corporate media has been screaming bloody murder about Iran's arrest of nine staffers from the British embassy in Tehran. And even today, we put this up at whatreallyhappened.com. They're trying to link this, they're trying to equate it with the seizure of the entire American embassy in the hostage crisis from 1979. Of course, the two are very, very different. Nobody has touched the British embassy. It's still under British control. No diplomats have been arrested. The people who were arrested by the Iranian authorities are Iranian citizens who were hired to work at the embassy. Five of them have already been released. So it is, it is a reach to try and equate the two incidents. But they're out there screaming that it's an outrage that they're arresting the British embassy staffers because they were caught on video out there causing a lot of the property damage that has been going on. This same media that is making such a big issue about that so far has pretty much turned a big collective ho-hum toward the capture by Israel on the high seas of a former U.S. congresswoman. Now, so far, to the best of my knowledge, the BBC has run the story once. Reuters and Associated Press have carried it as a wire story, but it has not been picked up by any of the American media. It just doesn't exist out there. So for all the caterwauling out there about, you know, the maltreatment of the supposed British staffers by Iran, and then not a word about this act of piracy in international waters. Remember not too long ago when the Somalis were being called pirates for interdicting ships in their own territorial waters that were doing toxic waste dumping? And they were trying to stop it. And they were being called pirates, and they were going to go out and shoot them and, you know, yo-ho and all the rest of that stuff. And not a word. This is piracy on the high seas. The Spirit was in international waters. It was on a humanitarian mission. It had no arms or weapons of any kind. Israel simply went out and grabbed it on the high seas, and they've taken it back to a port in Israel. This is an act of war. This is an act of piracy. Where is the international condemnation by the same media that wanted to make a huge, ugly story over the arrest of the Iranian staffers at the British Embassy in Tehran? It seems that there's kind of a real double standard here. Again, the same media that made a big issue about the Somali pirates. Not a word about Israel's act of piracy here. I mean, we as the United States of America, by virtue of the fact that Cynthia McKinney is a former U.S. Congresswoman, she should be entitled to some regard and respect and notice in the corporate media. I do notice the megaphonies are out there in full bore on the blogosphere today. They're out there and saying, oh, she's a kook and she's a nut and she hates Israel and don't pay any attention to her and Israel should put her up against the wall and shoot her and all this other nonsense. I'll tell you what's going on. I think anybody who's out there blogging that Cynthia McKinney is not doing a wonderful job out there, I think maybe they're racist. They just hate her because she's black. And that's really what's going on here. They're always screaming, racist this, racist that. They're the ones who are racist. They can't stand Cynthia McKinney because she's a black woman who has a sense of honor and integrity and decency. So Israel is out there. They have committed a blatant crime under international law, under maritime law. And the corporate media here in the United States, it's no big deal because, after all, it's Israel. And Israel's above the law. They can spy on the United States, and their people won't get arrested. They're above the law, apparently, and above notice. So, it is a crisis. We're continuing to watch it. Like I said, BBC, so far, is the only major television network to report the story, and they've only reported it once. And even they were spinning and biasing in favor of Israel, because I have a quote from the article as it appeared on their website. Israel keeps a tight hold on Gaza, which has been ruled by militant group Hamas since June 2007, having seized control of from its rival, the Fatah-led Palestinian Authority. Some bad grammar in there that was written in haste. Hamas did not seize control of anything. Hamas won the election. Hamas was voted into power in Gaza. And the BBC is not even honest enough to admit that. But meanwhile, former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney has been taken captive by the Israeli Navy for the crime of bringing construction supplies and toys and medicines to the people of Gaza. And Israel has simply hijacked her ship right out of the middle of international waters. This is a horrendous crime. I mean, can you imagine if some foreign country... What, look at the Achille Lauro, when that was hijacked, supposedly by terrorists. Turned out it was another one of those Shin Bet undercover false flag things. But look at the big stink they made about that. Can you imagine any other country hijacking a ship at sea and not suffering the condemnation of the world? And yet when Israel does it, everybody says, oh, we can't talk about this. They'll call us anti-Semites if we point out Israel has captured a U.S. congresswoman and is holding her without just cause, because they grabbed her in international waters. All right, we're coming up here to the end of the first segment here, and I got cranked up on that. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Our phone number for the show is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. We're expecting a call from Les Visible, who writes a wide variety of blogs, Life in the Petri Dish and all kinds of things. He's going to be calling in supposedly any time now to share his comments on this. Meanwhile, Matt is in the control room. He's answering the phones and twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. So if you want to call in and join us on the air, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. We're keeping an eye out for breaking developments. It is the middle of the night over in Israel, so we may not see anything for a few more hours yet. But this is, to my mind, the biggest story, and you should make it the biggest story as well. Israel wants it to go away. The megaphone is out there trying to shut it down, shout it down. You have to make this the big story. Piracy on the high seas. Israel hijacks a humanitarian aid ship and takes everybody captive. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And joining us on the phone from almost literally the other side of the planet is Les Visible. Les, welcome back to the show. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Well, thank you, Michael. As you know, it was a pleasure to be here. That's pretty interesting about the Israelis. They really believe they can do anything they like and get away with it for as long as they like. But, you know, all they're accomplishing is to make the whole world hate them for being the vicious psychopaths they are. And my feelings are going to be destroyed for it down the road.
Well, I tend to agree with you. What's really amazing is, I mean, here we're looking at the Congress just voted through more loan guarantees for Israel, which ultimately means we, the taxpayers, will pay for it, because most Americans don't know about something called the Cranston Amendment, which is automatically added to every foreign appropriations bill that goes through Congress. And the Cranston Amendment says the U.S. government will give to Israel as much money as Israel needs to repay all of its outstanding debt obligations. In other words, Israel will borrow money, and then the U.S. taxpayer basically gives them the money to repay the loans. And so even as more and more money is flowing from the American taxpayer to Israel at a time when we really can't afford it, Israel turns around and is effectively thumbing their nose at the United States and at Barack Obama. They're continuing the settlement expansion, despite Barack's request that they stop doing that. And the boat, the Spirit of Humanity, was carrying precisely the kinds of supplies Barack Obama requested be allowed through into Gaza. And so Israel has basically just flipped the President of the United States the bird publicly in front of the entire world. And what they're doing is they're intentionally humiliating Barack Obama, because they know there is nothing he can or will do to chastise Israel for this blatant disregard for anybody else's interests but their own. Go ahead.
The arrogance is amazing. It really is. You know, I'll bet they must have incurred a lot of expenses when they were pulling off 9/11 with the CIA, too. I hope that the American government is going to reimburse them for, like, whatever expenses they incurred when they attacked the World Trade Center.
It's pretty heavy out there. But I think the bottom line is that the American public, especially, I mean, as the economy is deteriorating and we're finding more and more of the Bernie Madoffs contributed to the problem there, I think they're getting sick of all the money that is flowing from the United States to Israel, only to have Israel turn around and act like they're absolutely not grateful for any of it. And they look down on us. They've got no respect for America or Americans whatsoever.
It's that Talmudic thing, you know.
Yeah.
The Gentiles are scum on the bottom of their shoes.
Well, you know, I'm wondering why the scum on the bottom of the shoes can't stop signing the checks. That's the part that really mystifies me. What is the true nature of this so-called special relationship where Israel can crap all over us and we're still going to send them billions and billions of dollars of our money that we really need to be spending here at home?
Well, over a period of time, and this is many, many decades, they took complete control of the media. And then in lockstep with that, they insinuated themselves into every area of the government. And meanwhile, they totally control the Federal Reserve, which prints all the money.
Mm-hmm.
You put those three things together, and it's not hard to see why they have this overwhelming power to do whatever they like.
Well, I understand how that whole thing works, and we know that the whole Rothschild dynasty basically controls all of Western-style banking.
Right.
And every time we hear Clash of Civilizations, what they're really talking about is the countries under the control of the Rothschilds are going to go kill the other countries that are not under the control of the Rothschilds, and that's
right.
Really kind of what's going on here. It is
manufactured events,
mm-hmm.
economic situations staged on purpose from behind the scenes and then made to look like accidental, you know, events that they have to respond to.
Well, definitely. I mean, if you go back and you read Sun Tzu's The Art of War, you gain a lot of insight into what is going on behind false flags and so forth and so on. And they're trying, you know, they're trying to crank up the war in Iran. The coup d'etat has fallen flat on its face. Ahmadinejad has come out of this even stronger than he was before. Now he's talking about diplomatically approaching the rest of the world and essentially trying to bypass U.S. influence. And he might just succeed in doing it, because as the U.S. is clearly an empire on the wane. And I kind of wonder what host Israel is going to latch on to next for the next stage of their ride through life.
Yeah, well, it makes you wonder. America right now is suffering the ancient virus of empires. You know, they occupy themselves with the seizures of land and resources at a distance, and then they neglect the needs of the country's people and infrastructure. The destruction of the manufacturing base is really going to come back to haunt them. They're overextended, and they're destroyed from within and made vulnerable to other forces the same way Rome found out. The same thing always happens. The same forces never pay attention. This time is going to be different, and it never is.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, the parallels between the United States and the fall of the Roman Empire are striking. And
yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And even when you look at the thing where they say, you know, it was the lead that was in all the piping conduits that led to, the fall of Rome, there's a big argument for that. But you can also just juxtapose that with what's happened with American food, genetically modified foods, all the things that Americans are consuming with their quick and easy lifestyle at the destruction of their health. And you know, down they go.
Yeah, absolutely, and just the lack of a need to excel personally. There's a lot of coasting. Starting at the end of World War II, we had this management and corporate culture that said we don't need to manufacture; we can just make money by moving other people's money around really fast, and create it that way. And as long as the Federal Reserve was willing to print up new money to fill those pockets, it all seemed to be working. But, you know, Rome went through the same thing, because just before its collapse, they started shaving the coins. Rome had coins.
True.
Yeah, they started debasing the coins. They started shaving off the edges of the coins. And once they started doing that and nobody could trust the value of the Roman money, it all began to come apart.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the American system, when you go back to the founding fathers, a lot of this was based on a mutual trust between the government and the people with each other. And there was this mysterious factor of integrity and honor and things of this nature. And one of the things that we see is disappearing now is any sense of integrity or honor among our leaders. You know, they're all just lackeys for economic interests. They serve a corporate will. They have no more allegiance to the basic integrity of what caused the country to exist in the first place. And without that integrity, there are no more nails holding the walls together.
You're absolutely correct. The government doesn't trust the people, and the people don't trust the government. It is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is, and we're going to see it happen, too.
All right. Well, Les, thank you very much for the phone call. We're coming to the end of the segment, and the phone lines are lighting up, and I understand this is a long-distance call for you and very expensive. So thank you very much.
We'd love to do it.
We'll have you back in on the show before very much longer. Thanks an awful lot.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
All right. That was Les Visible, and if you get a chance, you need to visit some of his blogs, Reflections in the Petri Dish, Smoke and Mirrors. We link to him all the time from whatreallyhappened.com. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Dave and Clarence, who are holding on the phone. Stick with us. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
The GCN Radio Network. Providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're getting some information in regarding the Spirit of Humanity, the Free Gaza boat that was hijacked on in international waters by Israel last night. Apparently, the U.S. State Department is in discussions with Israel over the situation here. Israel's position at this point appears to be that they stopped the boat in order to inspect the cargo. This, of course, is nonsense. The cargo was inspected by the Cypriot authorities, and an invitation was extended to Israel to come to the port in Cyprus and inspect the boat to make sure that there's no contraband, there's no weapons, there's nothing going over there that Israel, you know, has a legitimate reason to reject. And so now they're saying it's inspection. Meanwhile, Israel is saying that all of the passengers and crew have been turned over to the immigration authorities in Israel because they're in Israel illegally, which is absurd because none of them wanted to be in Israel. They were grabbed off international waters and dragged to Israel. Now they're being turned over to immigration as not supposed to be there. So immigration is probably going to take them to the airport, hopefully put them on a plane back home. As far as what's going to happen to the boat and its cargo, who knows what is going to happen there. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Dave, aloha, in Indiana, I guess that is. Aloha, Dave, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good. More and more as we see what's going on here, it looks like the Israeli operation is more and more a mafia thing.
Yes.
Is it that they possibly needed a large amount of cement in Israel for whatever they needed for construction?
They got to use the cement galoshes. They're putting the cement galoshes, you know.
Well, yeah, you never know. Because basically it's the silliest thing I've ever seen that these people are allowed to go ahead and do things. But look back on the 9/11 investigation from the pre-9/11 from the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually post-9/11 with the Israelis, like over 100 of them being rounded up and sent back home after they were arrested for espionage.
Yeah, absolutely. They're above the law. And after 9/11, Israel's arrogance just went right through the roof. I mean, people who were watching very, very closely, you know.
So maybe that was a quintessential event that basically embedded them within the CIA and the NSA enough. They basically are now, yes, really above the law.
Very, very much so. And like I said earlier in the show, I mean, Israel is just thumbing its nose at Barack Obama. To first of all grab the ship in international waters when it's known to be carrying the very materials Barack Obama requested be let through. The bottom line is Israel is attempting to starve the Gazans into surrendering what's left of their sovereignty. It's a collective punishment. It is a war crime. And I know Israel likes to go on and say, well, look at the way you guys treated the Indians. Well, that was like a century ago. And if you want to go back and live in the 1800s, fine. But this is the 21st century. And I wasn't alive back there during the Wild Wild West. You know, I can't change what happened there. I'm alive here and now. Israel loves to live in the past. No matter what they're doing, it's all either, you know, the Holocaust or the Wild Wild West or everybody else was doing it before we, and that justifies what we're doing. That's all in the past. It's history. We can't change it. We can change today. We should change today. And what Israel fails to see is it is their arrogance, as Les was saying. It is their arrogance which is angering the world against them. And it's going to reach a flashpoint where all of the Israeli supporters in every country around the world are going to find themselves targets because they're local, they're handy, they're convenient. People who are angry with what Israel is doing are going to turn on Israel supporters that are within reach. It happened before. I mean, if you look at what Israel is doing just within this country, how they're trying to take over the media and the banking and everything, and you will see a very strong parallel with the events that were going on in Germany just before World War II. And why Israel doesn't see, I mean, you know, Israel, over the last 2,000 years, there have been hundreds of persecutions and expulsions. And the only common factor is the way the Jewish people treat everybody else around them, Bernie Madoff being a good example. And eventually, there's a backlash, and they skedaddle for the hills, and they say, oh, we're so persecuted, everybody hates us. Yeah, you're impossible to get along with. And this is another example. I mean, the country, the U.S. has sent The U.S. taxpayer has been forced to send to Israel four times the entire cost of the Apollo moon program, and Israel never acts like they're at all grateful for all this financial aid. The United States came into World War II. We sacrificed millions of lives in order to prevent Hitler from completing whatever his ultimate plan was going to be. Israel doesn't act like they're grateful about that. Israel should be sending us money for our sacrifice to pull their chestnuts out of the fires of Nazi Germany. And they don't. Their attitude is, you didn't do enough for us, you got to do more. Talk about ungrateful. Next time Israel gets in trouble, we should not intervene. We should say, we've had enough. You know, how sharper than a hound's tooth. Anything else you got there, Dave?
I'm sure. They have over 100 nukes.
They're oh, yeah.
Capable
what do they need
of handling themselves.
Yeah, what do they need us for?
Exactly. And actually, I would imagine if we were to cut them off, those nukes would start appearing somewhere else that they are selling easily. That would be
they may have already started doing it. You know, I mean, it's not like they need a huge number of weapons. It's a little tiny country.
And there's only maybe possibly 50 good targets in the proximity, so they could sell half easily.
Easily.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, they only got to destroy one other city and say, okay, you know, we lied. We do have nukes, and so now you will bow down and worship us, so forth and so on.
And then also, when you look back on the history of this situation, the last time that there was actually a good Israeli government that was considered, like, historically a really good power was even, like, back in the King David time.
Well, again, the problem you're dealing with that is the people who were populating that part of the world back during the time of King David, you know, have got nothing to do with the people who are there now. And I know Israel likes to say, you know, we have owned this land for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah,
the reality is
the same time, those people in those days actually operated their government like a mafia-style government.
Oh, yeah, if you read the Old Testament, it's all, we're going to kill these other people and take their possessions, and we're going to smite these, and God allows us to smite them. It's all blood and vengeance and gore and killing. You know, it's hardly, it's terrible, terrible.
It's horrible. The whole thing is so completely out of control at this point. I have no idea why anybody would want to be backing any of this activity at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
our government is taking our money and giving it to Israel at a time when we really need it for ourselves. And that talk about betrayal and talk about treason. I mean, this is what got Charles I in trouble, and he wound up losing his head over, was dealing with foreign governments to the detriment of his own people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, well thank you very much.
You got it, Dave. Thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to switch to Clarence in Oklahoma. Aloha, Clarence. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, it's good to talk to you again. And you have put out so much truth this evening. My head's full right now. You know,
my coffee cup is empty.
I'm going to talk about one thing, and it just keeps on leading and leading and leading, you know.
Well, pick something and go for it.
Okay, I'll tell you what I think right now. The current Israeli government is basically a fascist government. And I say that not in the sense of, you know, what people think of World War II. Mussolini said fascism should have been called corporatism.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a prime minister, old what's-his-face over there, and if you want to go right wing, he's so far to the right wing you couldn't find him with a flashlight.
Yeah, he's definitely out there. He's slightly to the right of Attila the Hun. We got to take a break here for some commercials. Clarence, stay with us. We're going to pick you right back up when we come back to the last segment of our show today. This is What Really Happened. I'm your host, Mike Rivera. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network.
And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're still on the phone with Clarence from Oklahoma. We're talking about Israel. We're talking about their arrogance. And really, it just seems that I think if there's one, shall we say, cultural failing, it is they don't know when to quit. They keep pushing and pushing and pushing until they exhaust the patience of the people they're dealing with, and it blows up into a big fight, and they stand around there scratching their head saying, hey, you know, what's wrong here? And, this cultural idea that they're supposed to have all the goodies and that they're better than everybody else because they're God's chosen people. I mean, ultimately, at core, it is a racist religion, and it is a racist society.
You know, Mike, you couldn't have said it better. I mean, you just put it right there in a nutshell. And the thing is, what they call us, the Goyim, the cattle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those that are not Jewish, or, you know, it's kind of like the old thing about Texas. I say, if you ain't Texan, you ain't, and you know
what
the rest
the word
of
goes there. Yeah, can't say that on this here radio.
Yeah, can't say it on the radio, or you know, the FCC comes to get you. But I have nothing against the Jewish individual, Jewish person, or
mm-hmm.
Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people don't understand when we talk about this. This is about an ideology. Zionism is an ideology. And it is
yes.
an ideology that says, well, just like you said, we're entitled to everything.
Yeah, well, you know, now I want to back up here. They're not alone in that. I mean, basically every political ideology is saying, I want to have all the goodies come to us. It's a question of at what point do you realize, you know, that you're courting a war and a disaster?
Yeah.
And ultimately all ruling bodies, you know, they'll impose morality on their subjects to make them more useful,
mm-hmm.
but they see themselves as not being bound by these. But with Israel, it definitely takes it to a much greater level of utter lawlessness and immorality. And the one rule is, you know, whatever brings us the money and the power is a good thing, and everybody who doesn't go along with that is the enemy. And it is amazing how much they seem able to get away with in the international. The international arena, politically.
They go to it to the nth degree. Do you know how I'm going to go on the internet. I'm going to find out. They attacked. We sent troops into Iraq, and that was just to feed the military-industrial complex. That was a bunch of bull cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel gets away with this kind of stuff. And what the whole thing is who controls the levers of power, who controls the levers of the media, who, you know, because this is getting ridiculous. You know,
well,
we're
losing control of the media. That's the whole point of this show. It's the whole point of GCN. It's the whole point of the blogosphere. They're losing that control, and they're afraid right now. That's why they're trying to ramrod through all these hate crimes legislations. They're trying to get those put through because, you know, it's nothing about pornography, and it's not about the gays, and it's not about the blacks, and it's not about anything. Every time these laws are put through in every country, they are selectively enforced against critics of Israel. That's what this is about. It is a global dictatorship with Israel at the top. They're already talking about Jerusalem as the new capital of the world.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you know, and when they talk about a global bank, it's going to be owned by the Rothschilds. And they're talking about a global new world order. They're talking about running it out of Jerusalem. This is the thing. They are convinced that they are supposed to rule the entire world, and you know, anybody who doesn't go along with it is the enemy. And unfortunately, you know, it's a very covert way of doing this. It's very unconventional in terms of the relative history. But what has gone wrong for them is they've lost that lock on the media. They've lost the monopoly on the flow of information throughout the planet. And that is where it's falling apart. And right now, if you look at Iran and Honduras, they're 0 for 2 on these coups. Because the one in Iran has failed utterly. The one in Honduras looks to be breaking up. The president's already talking about arrangements to come back, you know, and take back his office. So the old methods don't work anymore, and this grab for global power is all based on these old propaganda methods. I mean, that's the thing with the global warming. That was supposed to convince us all of the need of a global governing body. That's falling apart on them. They're trying to force it through brute force as quickly as they can, and people are starting to dig their heels in.
I'll say one more thing in case I didn't get any more, but I'll say this. I'm reading a book by Chalmers Johnson called The Sorrows of Empire. I'm halfway through it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever read that, but I highly recommend it. It compares us to the modern-day Roman Empire. We have spent our blood, our treasure, to go out and we're going to literally bankrupt this nation, to hold this entire, to try to control the entire world. And we don't know that we're not going to be the ones that are going to, in the end, do it. But that's the way the think tanks think. They say we've got to have all these foreign forward bases and all this. And what's going to happen is we don't have the resources.
No, we don't. We're overextended. It's like, again, to draw the parallel with Rome, when they lost the legion in Germany. The Roman Empire was very carefully planned out. They had the legions distributed at key strategic locations so that the legions could move quickly to quell an uprising in any one of the outlying provinces. When they lost that one legion, and it took 5 years to create and train a legion, and what happened without that legion that was lost in Germany, They were overextended, and this province would start to break away, and they'd scramble to get a legion over there as quickly as they could. And when once that legion was gone, the province they had been in, they broke away, and the whole thing began to crumble. And we're seeing it around the world, not in terms of countries saying we're no longer part of the American Empire, but this talk about abandoning the dollar as the reserve currency, because that was the imperial coin of the realm, the dollar. That's what Britain would establish. It established the dollar as the coin of the empire that the U.S. was building around the world. And now all these other countries are saying, we really don't want to use it anymore because it's become debased. You've shaved off too much of the gold and silver around the edges, and we don't trust it. We're going to start doing our own currencies. And at a much greater level of the abstraction, this is not just a repudiation of the United States of America. It's a repudiation of the reserve system of banking. Of this idea that you can print up paper money and hand it out for pennies on the dollar, but the people have to pay it back with, you know, full face value in terms of work product.
And interest.
And interest. And the money for the interest doesn't even exist. And unless somebody else borrows more money, there has to be a continuing expansion of the borrowers in order to create the new money to pay the interest on the old money, which of necessity...
You can't stack this up. You stack it up too high, it's going to collapse. Inevitably.
Well, that's exactly what's happening right now. For the last 6 months, the U.S. government is grabbing all the money from all levels of the American people, and they're piling it up over Wall Street and Washington, D.C. And it's starting to tip over and collapse. Boy, we are out of time today. I mean, I had all these financial stories I wanted to talk in.
I'll say one more thing, and I'll get off the phone.
Okay, well, it's the end of the show, but go ahead.
The dollar is going the way of the denarius.
I disagree, because the denarius still has value because it was made out of silver.
You're right. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, the Roman denarius still has value.
It was used as money.
It was used as money.
Value.
That's right.
A bunch of cotton put together and with ink and nice little patterns on it. They give it to the Federal Reserve. They loan it back to the U.S. government in violation of the Constitution and then collect interest on that deal.
That's exactly right. But the Roman silver denarius was used as lawful money or legal tender long after Rome itself had fallen because it had intrinsic
worth. What's going to be our legacy? What are we going to leave the world?
A giant black hole of debt. Okay, Clarence, it's the end of our show. We got to leave here. We'll be back at 5 p.m. tomorrow. Call back in. We'll pick up here. I got so much story I did not get to here at all. What a crazy, crazy day. Our thoughts are with the passengers and crew of the Spirit of Humanity, and hopefully the U.S. State Department is going to step in and get the people and the boat back. Until tomorrow, aloha, America.